I didn't fit the profile. I was very young. I was a woman of color. I was dismissed, and all the powers that be and the laws and the technology and the medicines out there weren't to my advantage, right? And so there, I feel like for me, if something's wrong, I'm not going to ask who's going to fix it. I'm going to ask, how can I make a difference?
Hello, and welcome to Revolutionary Woman. My name is Tess Silverman. Women around the world are constantly creating ways to make a difference in their communities, and today's guest is no exception. Mema was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer. She had no family history and was 32 years old. While undergoing her second round of chemotherapy, she made a promise to God that if she survived, she would create an organization to educate, empower, advocate for, and support young women affected by breast cancer. After her second treatment, Tiger Lily Foundation was born. Tiger Lily works to end disparities of age, stage, and color. A first-generation immigrant from Liberia, she is a leader in the women's health field. Under Mema's leadership, Tiger Lily Foundation has launched national and global health initiatives focused on ending disparities. In 2010, Mema published Fearless, Awakening to My Life's Purpose Through Breast Cancer. Hi, Mema. Welcome to Revolutionary Woman. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, Tess.
Thank you for coming by. I read that you were born in Liberia, but came to the United States with your family at a young age. How old were you?
Well, I immigrated here at 15 years old, and it wasn't a simple move. It was escaping a war from Liberia, where I was born.
Oh, wow.
There were several coups d'etats, and the last one, my parents had to put me on a plane alone at 15 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's how I got here. So it was less moving and more war, but I would say that taught me a lot about resilience, courage, and how unpredictable life can be at times, and adaptation to changes.
Wow. So when did your family join you here?
You know, I have to say that it was such a shock the way things happened. One minute I was in school and life was good. The next minute they were saying that there were rebels coming to town and that there was a war and we had to graduate ASAP and then, you know, leave the country. So I don't remember. I know my parents got me here as soon as they could.
Uh-huh.
And the thing was, people were getting airlifted and getting assets seized. And so it was just so fast and crazy. I remember getting on the plane and then being at JFK Airport in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the next memory is of me being at a relative's house. But I don't remember anything between that, even up till now.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine. That must have been such a shock. Where did you finally settle?
So I came to New York first, and then we had a relative in Jersey. And then at some point, my parents did come back. I don't remember how many months it was until they came. So back then there was no text messaging, or no one had cell phones.
Right.
And so, you know, it was an increased anxiety because you didn't know what was happening in real time and you couldn't contact people. And if you did call, the phone may or may not work. I have four brothers and we're talking one of them yesterday, and his girlfriend mentioned to him, she said, "I don't know how your family's so level-headed and stable and everybody's so normal, because what you guys went through was not normal. It wasn't the usual upbringing."
Mm-hmm.
My parents always taught us the importance of like appreciating what you have right now, because nothing's promised in life. So, you know, it was stressful with them not being here. It was stressful losing everything. All those things were hard, but we had our life. And when they came, we're together. We're together in a house with two bedrooms, and I didn't have a bedroom for, I don't know, years. I think I slept on the couch.
Wow.
The couch was my bed for a couple of years, but we were alive, we were healthy, and we were together. I had many friends who had losses. We lost relatives as well, but our entire immediate family was intact, which was a blessing for us.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
That's how I migrated here.
Wow. That's what a crazy story. Oh my goodness. And then at the age of 31, you were diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer. Can you share, first of all, that's a young age to have stage 2 breast cancer. How did that diagnosis affect the way you looked at life after that?
I will say that looking back now, I'm like, oh my God, how did I do that? My daughter just finished college and she's 23, and she's still a baby, right? So thinking about navigating what I did at that age at 31 was so, it just, now I can really absorb the enormity of it.
Mm-hmm.
it was shocking because at the time, nobody really thought about women getting breast cancer at young ages. Mm. As a matter of fact, all the legislation that was out there, all the policies were focusing on women getting screened mm-hmm. and at, you know, in their 50s, and advertisements, marketing, all the things that were out there, you know, they were focusing on women who are older mm-hmm. and or women who they thought, you know, the marketing looked like women who were white women.
Right.
And so not only did I not fit the profile, but when I went to get the mammogram, which I pushed for, I found the lump myself uh-huh. in the shower.
Oh, wow.
The mammogram missed the tumor because it wasn't advanced enough to detect tumors in a dense breast, right?
Uh-huh.
So I missed the lump in my breast, and they told me that I couldn't get the mammogram done because I was too young to come back when I was older, huh. and I had to push for that.
Uh-huh.
And then when I finally got it, it came back clean. They said, okay, huh. you don't have cancer, you're fine.
Wow.
We told you were fine, and I said, well, there's something in there that I can feel,
yeah.
but the machine can't see, so it must be wrong.
Huh. Oh
and
gosh.
So, yeah, and so it really kind of, I mean, my story was, it was a lot. However, it gave me the impetus to start Tiger Lily because mm-hmm. I realized that with all these orgs out there that are much bigger and doing all these different things,
mm-hmm.
they tend to they focus on the majority of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the majority wasn't women who were black or women who were brown, or women who were, you know, vulnerable, and women who were younger.
Mm-hmm.
It was women who didn't fit my profile.
Wow.
And it turns out that women like me tend to have more aggressive cancers.
Mm.
And because we were not educated or not taught about breast cancer risk,
yeah.
We weren't recruited for trials, so there weren't drugs created for our bodies.
Huh.
And we weren't even getting diagnosed in time. So a woman could get breast cancer maybe at a young age and right. not know until she was 40.
Wow.
And maybe, you know, lung cancer or bone cancer or brain cancer. And they say, oh, you have brain cancer and you die, but it may have been breast cancer.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
So there were questions I began to ask people like, what about this? Why not that? And people were really mad at me at first. They were annoyed. And,
yeah.
you know, people were like, what is this little girl talking about? Why is she here? Like, yeah. you don't make any sense. I'm like, well, I make sense because I exist.
Yeah.
And I have
yeah.
a right to understand why these things happen to me,
right.
how to fix it,
yeah.
and how to ensure that people who are coming, who are going through the same thing as me,
mm-hmm.
aren't dismissed, aren't delayed in diagnosis, aren't blown off.
Yeah.
So, and yeah. that's kind of was the beginning of my story.
Wow.
That was the first story was refugee, like going through, you know, the whole escaping Liberia.
Yeah.
And then I got diagnosed and Tiger Lily began. And
wow.
yeah, and that was kind of how that phase of my life started.
Okay. So you mentioned you are the founder of Tiger Lily Foundation. You started Tiger Lily after you went through your treatment. Are you in remission?
I began Tiger Lily while in treatment. And
okay.
This year, I'm 20 years cancer-free, yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Can you tell me what prompted you to start Tiger Lily? What is Tiger Lily's mission and why you decided that this was something you wanted to do?
I mean, after for all the reasons I shared, you know, I was
mm-hmm.
I didn't fit the profile. I was very young. I was a woman of color. I was dismissed and all the powers that be and the laws and the technology and the medicines out there weren't to my advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there, I feel like for me, if something's wrong, I'm not going to ask who's going to fix it. I'm going to ask, how can I make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how it began, with me asking the question, like, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I make a difference in the world? And begin sharing my story. And people kept coming to me and saying, me too, my sister, my cousin, my mom, you know, and,
wow.
And when I began to ask about why was the age so high for screening, I was told that most women get breast cancer at this age, and that's why. And I'm like, well, most women is not all women.
Yeah.
What about those who aren't at that age?
Right.
So that's kind of how it began to grow. And then I got into policy, to change the policy. And then I realized there were young women who were, you know, in their teens and 20s who should be educated. So I began doing educational programs, and then I realized what I was doing was called advocacy. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so now I'm advocating. And so mm-hmm. it just grew very organically.
So were you surprised that there were no studies about women who would get cancer at a young age?
I mean, everything surprised me.
Yeah.
Especially being an immigrant, you come to this country thinking that it's America, right? Everything's possible here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then all you keep hearing is no, 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 no.
Hmm.
You don't fit the profile. You don't get that. You can't, you know, and even the treatments that were available, there wasn't anything targeting triple negative breast cancer, which is what I had. So,
wow.
So it was the mammography failed me. The education that was out there failed me. the marketing failed, the legislation around, you know, the age was, you know, was a failure. Mm-hmm. The medicines were a failure. And the doctors were, several of them dismissed me. I was dismissed for quite a while. So that was a failure as well for the system. So it was kind of just looking around and saying, what in the hell is wrong with these systems? Why aren't they working? And saying, I'll do something to make a difference. Mm. Didn't know what I would do.
Right.
But I really think people always wait till they figure out the perfect thing to do. There's no perfect answer. There's starting with you, like your why.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more I talked about it, the more I realized there were so many gaps in the science of how I began Tiger Lily, and it grew from there.
Has it gotten better in terms of policy, in terms of systems?
I would say the way that this country works is that systems take a long time. And it's just, you know, like, for example, the screening age wasn't dropped until like maybe like 3 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
I've been doing this for almost 20 years, right? So like,
things
take a long time. However, what's really beautiful is the power of using your voice.
Mm-hmm.
So although the age has not changed, hadn't changed for a long time, I could encourage women to get screened sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I could encourage women to push to doctors when they were told no. I could encourage women to know their bodies and to say when things weren't feeling right. I could encourage women to share their diagnosis with their family and not be afraid to say that this could be a family risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge was that the system takes a long time,
mm-hmm.
but people's educating people through health literacy programs, through media campaigns, through traveling and speaking, and through just social media, like, and going to people's churches and, you know, schools and hospital centers, like, those things were so powerful in terms of getting the word out there. And so it really is, the shocking thing is the system, even though it has changed in many ways,
mm-hmm.
it still doesn't really reach people the way it should.
Mm.
People are still paying, you know, higher costs for medicines.
Mm-hmm.
Their hospitals using money people are supposed to be getting to support them for wraparound support for, you know, hospital buildings and salaries.
Mm-hmm.
People are not getting, you know, the right care. They're still getting dismissed and denied.
Yeah.
However, that's why we work so hard within my organization to ensure people get the education they need to be able to be their own best advocate.
Yeah.
And so our biggest program is called the Angel Advocacy Program,
mm-hmm.
where we educate women on how to become angel advocates. And what that means is that they're now empowered with the right information at the right time to go out there and speak up about their health. And so they can challenge their doctors and challenge a nurse and challenge a healthcare system. They can work to be a part of transforming clinical trials. They can be community leaders. They can use their voices in ways they couldn't have imagined before, in ways they can now. So it's really powerful that when you use your voice in a way that is transformative, you can create change, as, you know, as policy work does take a longer time.
Yeah. Do you think part of it is cultural or societal or both? There are women who would never challenge what the doctor says, or would never assume that, you know, well, okay, you know, it doesn't show anything, so I guess I'm okay.
I think that people generally are still afraid to challenge the system in many ways, but there are more who are not going to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once they know better, they do better.
Yeah.
And so people think that if they have a doctor and his name's, you know, doctor or whatever, he must be right.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are more and more advocacy groups out there like mine that are advocating for women with, or men, women, men and children with breast cancer, or, you know, ovarian cancer or heart disease or whatever it is, different disease areas, that are advocating to help people understand the importance of them speaking up for their health.
Yeah.
And so with that louder voice and more people coming together to advocate, people are becoming more aware that they have a an option of saying, no, I'm not going to do what you say. I'm going to fire you. Or are there other options? And knowing what to ask about.
Right.
So I feel like that's becoming more of a thing now, that people are realizing their power and the potential they have to do what's best for their lives and not just take the yes or no for an answer.
Right.
You don't have to die of cancer today, tomorrow, next month, next year. I have friends who have had cancer, metastatic cancer, who've lived, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years or 25 years.
Wow.
It really depends. I mean, everyone's body's different.
Mm-hmm.
However, it also depends on, you know, where you are. I have some friends in treatment right now with early stage or metastatic cancer who are involved in science and research. And the closer you are to the science that's out there and what's coming out, the new, the innovations, the more you have access to what is top of line that's going to help your disease, right? So you can't be a bystander with your health. You have to be involved.
Right.
And that means showing up, being involved as part of your life, not just when you have time or when you're sick.
Yeah.
And so a lot of advocates like myself even though I am 20 years cancer free and I'm happy for that, mm-hmm. my life is about my health, whether it's understanding cancer or even like, yeah, I just saw my naturopathic doctor. I see her once a month. I do all the things. I go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I, you know, do Reiki, acupuncture, massage, a detox and sauna. I do all the things, right? Colonics. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing the right things to keep my body clean and healthy by exercising and eating well, hydrating and resting. But I'm also going to see my doctor, you know, every year for mammography screening and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I am going to the conferences to learn about science and research. And when I can't go, I learn online what's mm-hmm. out there.
That's amazing. And I love that you have created an organization, a foundation where women can be educated as well as, like you said, be advocates for themselves. So who would you credit for where you are now?
I would credit God for grace. I would credit my parents. I credit myself. Mm. I credit my daughter and people that have been a part of my life. For some reason, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. And also my parents taught me about my body early and knowing how to be my best advocate and speaking up. Mm-hmm. And then I knew to speak up at the right time, even though I was scared to speak to a doctor and keep going back and over and over and over again. I knew that I didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And then when I got diagnosed, you know, my daughter was my beacon of light. She was 3 years old. So,
oh, wow.
By just pushing to be alive for her and yeah. making a difference for her and changing the world for her. And yeah. now she works with me. She works for me as well.
Oh, how
at
cool.
Tiger Lily. So I would say that. And the people who have been there for me, who watched her when I was tired and took me to treatment and just supported me along this journey. Mm-hmm. And because being an entrepreneur is not easy and people don't oftentimes understand the drive mm-hmm. or the responsibility that comes with it. Mm-hmm. And so there are friends of mine who didn't stay the road. They thought she's always busy, doesn't have time for us. But I was raising a child while recovering from cancer, wow. while working a full-time job, while building a nonprofit mm-hmm. and traveling to build it. So it was not like I was sitting around eating bonbons. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of sacrifice because I knew it was for a bigger purpose than myself.
Yeah.
So I would credit anybody who's been a part of my life, you know, all this time. And yeah.
That's great. So what's next for MAMA and Tiger Lily Foundation?
Just growing the organization. We now focus on, you know, 5K areas. Mm-hmm. And the Center of Excellence is focused on different patient needs. So one is our Angel Advocacy Center mm-hmm. of Excellence. And that is our community engagement and education and advocacy. We have our RISE Center of Excellence, and that's more health literacy. SPARK is our Clinical Trials Center of Excellence. And we have our HEAL Center of Excellence, which is our policy, COE. Hmm. And our POWER Center is our insights and research. So just growing that, really educating people about their health, mm-hmm. their body, using their voices has been critical. And I love doing that. I want to write some more books and travel mm-hmm. the world. And knowing that my daughter's finished with college, we can have more fun together.
That's awesome. What does your daughter think about what you have gone through?
She just called me.
Oh, okay.
She's great. I mean, she's my best friend. She's my biggest supporter, and she's my everything. Mm. I mean, she's why I pushed so hard to live. She's why I do what I do, and I couldn't ask for a better daughter, sister, mm. best friend, and I'm just thankful for her. So
that's wonderful.
We are, yeah, I'm thankful for her. And I'm thankful that she's seen what I built because now she knows what resilience means. She knows what advocacy means. She knows what it means to live in purpose, on purpose. Mm-hmm. And she knows what it takes to create something that's really meaningful. Mm-hmm. And I think that giving your children, you know, money or jewelry or house or something like that, something like physical is a nice to have. Mm-hmm. But building character and building a living legacy is even more powerful.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing. I love it. So if anyone wanted to know more about you and your work with Tiger Lily Foundation, how would they go about it?
They can find us at Tiger, TigerLily Foundation.org. So it's TigerLilyFoundation.org. We're also found at TigerLily_Foundation on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And same name on TikTok. And people can find me at Mama Carmo on Instagram, Mama Carmo on TikTok, Mama Carmo on Facebook, and Mama Carmo on, it was Twitter, now it's X.
So is there anything you would like to say to my listeners?
I would say that your life is your most important asset. your body is your temple, and just make sure you honor it wisely and put it first.
Okay.
We only have one life to live, and you want to live it fully and have a long and fruitful life. So live it the best you can and pay it forward. As I said just now, you can always give people things, but giving someone the gift of health, health literacy, and empowerment is even more powerful.
Thank you. If you had one thing to change that you wish you had done years ago, would there be one?
Nope. I have no regrets about anything. One thing I always learned before cancer, even then when I was younger, and was even more pronounced for me, is never have regrets. So I would say I don't really have any regrets. Maybe like dating like dumb guys here and there, like dating some douchebags here and there. But other than that, I think everything you go through, you learn from. So I have no regrets per se. I've learned to accept the best from each situation and then take what I can and leave what I don't need.
Okay.
And then the rest is magic.
Wonderful. Okay, my last question is, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
I would say you did great. You're doing great. Don't ever doubt yourself. You're on track. Just follow your heart, and the best is yet to come.
Wonderful. Mema, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing your life and your work with Tiger Lily Foundation with me. And I think it's amazing that your vision for women and their health and people's health really is beyond what you thought you could do until you were actually had to go through it. And now you are paying it forward, like you said, and it's a really beautiful thing to see. And I wish you so much luck with Tiger Lily and the future initiatives that you have upcoming. And I wish you so much luck with the future of Tiger Lily.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day. Okay,
you
bye.
Too.
That's our show for today. I've posted more information about Mema Carmo on revwoman.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll tune in every other Thursday for another episode of Revolutionary Woman. You can listen to Revolutionary Woman on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Just a little note. I've launched a Patreon account to support the show. All proceeds will go to producing and editing the episodes to give my poor husband a break from being my personal IT and production department. He wrote this. The address is patreon.com/revwoman.